I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
If you're Sigmund Freud and you know it, clap your hands. If you're Sigmund Freud and you know it, clap your hands. If you're Sigmund Freud and you know it and you really want to bone your mum, if you're Sigmund Freud and you know it, clap your hands. I don't know if we've ever explained, we do that in order to line up the tracks, don't we?
Yeah, but is that going to work?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's you editing this week, so I wash my hands of it.
Cool. Love that.
I have a confession.
Please. Welcome.
One of my New Year's resolutions was to research who we were doing, and I thought I did quite a good job last week of really researching who we're doing.
Did you research Rishi?
Yeah, I did some googling. Did it not seem like I'd done some googling?
Yeah, no, it did. I didn't know that's what we were doing. I didn't get the memo.
Well, that's what I'm doing. I think it works if one of us is good and one of us is shit, and I think you be shit and I'll be good. That works for me. But this week I have not done any googling whatsoever.
Okay, well, I've had 3 years of therapy.
Great!
So
you can lead.
Well, look, I'm sure some of Freud's ideas are kicking around in my noggin, but I probably won't be able to tell you which ones they are until someone says, oh, that's Freudian, you know? I haven't had, like, Freudian analysis. Freudian analysis is, like, very... That's like you go and you lie on the couch and you like pour your soul out to someone who like sits there with a blank face, I think.
And it's all about how you want to hang your mum. That's the gist.
It's a lot about like childhood projection, which is when we project our own emotions onto someone else.
I remember studying something at university about mirrors and when you're a baby and you see yourself for the first time and you realise that you exist outside, you are not the world.
Yeah,
you
that's are a body. Freud.
That's Freud.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way,
yeah, that's Freud.
This is Bitchin' every week. We talk about a different person. And this week we're talking about Sigmund Freud. Well, Tilly's talking about Sigmund Freud.
Sigmund Freud. He can't keep getting away with this. he had some ideas which were bad. He had a lot of ideas which, whilst very uncomfortable, are very much reflected in the world around us.
The anal stage of development, there's that whole thing about you go through your anal stage, don't you? Your bumhole stage.
Yeah.
I think that's a thing. Or at least
I don't know if that's a thing, but I'm just gonna believe you, which is because I'm a human being and I'm flawed. He wouldn't last long on Twitter, I'll say that much. I'll say that for him. But you know, lots of stuff like the Madonna whore complex.
Oh, I don't know that one. What's that?
I think.
Oh wait, I'm sorry, could you hold that thought? I forgot to read his Wikipedia. And I know it's meaningless because we already have said who he is. But it's ritualistic.
No, but we need the Wikipedia. I thought we were getting to the Wikipedia.
Oh, okay. I'll do the Wikipedia and then we'll do the Madonna whore. Madonna whore?
Okay.
Is it Madonna?
It's probably on there.
All right. Sigmund Freud, German. Born Sigmund Schlomo Freud. He 6th of May 1856 to 23rd of September 1939 was an Austrian. So why does it say German after his name? Was an Austrian neurologist and the founder of psychoanalysis. Yeah. A clinical method for treating psychopathology.
Okay, this wasn't the best choice.
Psychopathology through dialogue between a patient and a psychoanalyst.
Yeah.
Should I continue? No. I want to hear about Madonna whore. Save me.
I think it's him. I could be wrong. It's basically women are either for shagging or they're for loving. And I think the quote is something like, these men cannot, where they love, they cannot desire, and where they desire, they cannot love. I think it's something like that.
What does that mean?
Well, it means that. It means that they can't, if they feel sexually towards a woman, they can't respect her enough to love her.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard. That's...
Have you not met a man?
The single... Not many, to be honest, actually. I tend to avoid them.
Yeah.
That's really... That... I don't... That's not real. You think that's true? You think men can't love and respect you if they...
It's demonstrably true from my own experience in the world, yeah. Not all men.
Not all men.
I'm not saying that. Not all... Hashtag not all men. I'm not saying that. But yeah, there's loads of them with it. They're all over the fucking shop, mate.
But don't you think by him saying it... as a definable thing, like, makes it so. Like, I don't think that's a given. I think that's a choice of all four men to be like that.
He's not saying it's a good thing.
Is he not?
No, he's saying, get these men on my couch and I'll treat them.
Oh, is he? It sounds like he's saying, yeah, this is a genetic classic.
No, he's describing it as, like, a pathology. Oh, as, like, okay. A psychopathology thing. Like,
okay.
But he also thought that, like, what was it he thought about lesbians? Hang on. Freud, lesbians.
Oh, do you know what? The Madonna whore thing as well seems to be focused around the inability to maintain sexual arousal within a committed loving relationship. So it's actually that he's treating them to make them more aroused rather than being like, stop being so horny, you men. He's like, come on, let me help you fancy your wives. Oh, that's quite nice.
Okay, I think he did... believe in like innate homosexuality, but he wasn't nice about it.
Aww.
And then his daughter was a lesbian.
No.
Yeah, but I think he said something like about lesbians where he was like, oh, their fathers are XYZ and that's why they become lesbians, and then his daughter was a lesbian, which is quite
funny. Is quite funny,
even though obviously she was just a lesbian because she was a lesbian. But my friends just replied to me because she has a degree in psychology and various other things. I said, about to do a podcast episode on Sigmund Freud, what's the worst thing about him? She says, had some ideas very based in colonialism, e.g. totem and taboo. I don't know what that is. I'm going to look it
I'm
up.
Also just Googling his views on feminism. He thought that women were... Well, men were originally superior and that women were the second sex.
Yeah.
I mean, didn't everyone think that, though, in the past? Sorry, not to defend it.
Yeah.
That's a bad thing to think, obviously. And also, that's not true. I hate that. Oh, the context of the time meant that it was okay to be a bigot. Like, no, it's never okay to be a bigot, guys.
It's just also not always accurate that it was, maybe that societally it was okay to do whatever you want. It's probably true. But there's always people who aren't,
yeah,
agreeing with what's
true.
Going on, aren't there? Like, I watched a really good video about Ursula K. Le Guin and her Earthsea books by a YouTuber called Verily Bitchy, who is awesome, and I really recommend checking out her work. And it was basically all about, like, the Earthsea books were basically like the original boy wizard thing. So they were Harry Potter before Harry Potter, basically. Except for the fact that, like, basically all of the characters are people of colour and it's, like, completely, like, progressive in loads of ways. And then, like, she had a lot of, like, basically all the characters in the earlier books were men. And she was basically like, oh, it's because I have some internalised misogyny. Isn't what she said, but in so many words, she said that. And then as she got older, her views changed. And when she wrote the next Earthsea books, like 20 years on, the protagonist was a housewife who was a witch. And it was all about like women's magic. And like it basically showed how loads of the things that she'd written in the first book, it kind of used those and kind of retroactively, she was like, oh, they were propaganda. And they weren't actually true. It was just like what those characters believed in about women. And she was basically comparing that with that this YouTuber was comparing that with kind of how dire representation is in Harry Potter, and kind of how people try and say, oh, well, it was, you know, it was the time and blah, blah, blah. And it's like not accurate, because like Earthsea books were really popular. I mean, basically every adaptation of them has been like horrendously whitewashed. But the books themselves aren't.
I might give them a read. Maybe they should make a 3-part West End play out of them.
I know. I think they are making a TV series about it.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. But anyway, Freud.
No, that's interesting though. Well, you say Freud. I've not Googled him, as we've established. So yes, Tilly, Freud. I'm just reading about on his Wikipedia. He wrote an essay in 1917 called Mourning and Melancholy. As in mourning, as in like sad mourning, death. And it just reminded me of, I went to this on my birthday. You know, I went to Oxford on my birthday. I talked about it on the podcast, the avid listeners. I went to an exhibition on melancholy, and it was amazing because it was all about the history of melancholy and finding remedies and trying to understand why we all feel sad. And it's a really obvious thing to say, but like, people have always felt really sad, haven't they? As well as feeling happy. There's always been a level of melancholy and trying to sort of find medical cures for it. I can't remember anything about the exhibition, so this is not a good story. But it was good and interesting. And in his essay, he talks about how this inevitable part of life called melancholy. And he claimed that in normal mourning, the ego was responsible for narcissistically detaching the libido. He always brings it back, doesn't he? From the lost one as a means of self-preservation. But that in melancholia, prior ambivalence towards the lost one prevents this from occurring. I don't really understand that.
Yeah, he's basically saying that underneath sadness is a kind of protection. So a lot of the time when someone becomes depressed, it's because they can't bring themselves to feel the anger of having something taken away from them, or having been victimized in some way. Sometimes it's easier to go into a state of depression when you're in like a really stressful situation, or if, as he's talking about, I think he's talking about sex, which is not the same thing as I'm talking about, but it's easier to just be like, oh well, nothing good happens to me anyway, so. And then you kind of protect yourself from the, I think that's what he's saying anyway, because he's talking about the ego, and he talks about
and it's interesting that he talks about the ego in relation to mourning, because the next thing is about extreme cases, essentially unconsciously feeling conflict against the mourner's own ego. Oh, my poor brain.
I feel like reading Freud is probably not the best way for you to understand his ideas, because they're very prevalent and they're everywhere.
I need like a little illustrated flip book or something.
There's definitely an illustrated flip book of
Can you get it me for Christmas?
Yeah, definitely.
Freud for Dummies.
Like, a lot of his stuff is about like the ego, basically.
I've remembered, I'm so sorry to interrupt, but about the libido. I don't know why we did this as part of my English degree. This is, I suppose he wrote books, but the libido for life, like the driving force of like the instinct to live.
Yeah, the life drive and the death drive.
Yeah. And so maybe when he's talking, I just assumed it was sexual, but the libido is actually pulling you against your natural libido to want to live, is when the death pull comes. Is that part of his philosophy then, this push and pull of life and death?
That's definitely bleak. Yeah, I think so.
Oh God.
But again, I'm not an expert, and we both should have done some research before doing this episode. It's becoming increasingly clear. Maybe we could just try and do some therapy right now.
Yes.
I'll lie down.
Okay.
I'm on the couch.
All right. Shall I tell you some home truths?
Yeah. I don't think that's what Freudian analysis is, but why not?
I wonder if he would like the way that therapy has gone.
Probably not. I mean, fucking hell, like, our parents' generation can't even cope with like the amount of change that's happened. Imagine if he knew what's going on. He'd be like, what the fuck? You're all being so nice to each other. My life was hell. I want your lives to be hell. Like, my life was hell. I wasn't allowed to be anything but a man. I had to be strong. He'd be furious. You know, it's like the whole thing of like student debt. People don't want it to be cancelled because they had to pay.
Humans are awful, aren't they? That's awful. That's the worst. Surely it should be, oh God, wasn't that awful when I had to pay that? Wouldn't it be nice if you guys don't have to worry about that?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
He has the whole thing about dreams. He loves dreams, the interpretation of dreams. He believed in the function of dreams to preserve sleep by representing fulfilled wishes that would otherwise awaken the dreamer. Mm. In his theory, dreams are instigated by the daily occurrence and thoughts of everyday life. In what Freud called the dream work, the secondary process thoughts... Oh God, I'm really not doing well. Governed by the rules of language and the reality principle. I'm sorry, this is too much for me. Do you know what's mad though and blows my mind is we still don't know why we dream, do we?
No, it's
and we it's don't really know why
scary
we sleep.
Fucking shit. Like it's scary, scary
what's going
shit.
On there?
Do you dream?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, same. I wish I could. That's the one thing I wish I could take a pill and not dream.
Do you have awful dreams?
Yeah, every single night.
Oh, that's really awful.
Yeah, but it's like I mean, it's just like it's how my brain works. Like my brain is obviously just like processing stuff. Unconsciously, and it's trying to tell me stuff and trying to sort out. I think it's the brain trying to process things that don't quite make sense so that it can achieve a kind of equilibrium of some kind unconsciously.
And I think it's moving things around, isn't it, into your like frontal lobe and your vacuole lobe.
Yeah,
and
yeah. Like what's important.
Yeah, putting things in your memory. Do you think that thing is true that people always say about how you never imagine a face in a dream, that faces in your dreams are always from people that you've seen in your life?
Yeah, like people in my dream are always played by someone else. Like, they'll be someone, but they're actually someone else. It's really weird.
I get that. And, like, you know that it's that person,
but it's not them.
Yeah, and sometimes I'm a different person, but I know that it's me.
Yeah.
It's trippy. Did you see that guy who kept a journal of things that his girlfriend said in her sleep and then turned it into a... Who's that poet, like, that poet on Instagram with loads of followers?
If I wrote down my dreams, I'd get locked up. I'd 100% get locked up.
Really? I kind of want to know them now.
Nope. All right, here's one that's okay. The other night, this is what happened, right? I went to my friend's cheese stall. This is in real life, not in my dream.
Oh, okay.
Where he sells cheese. And I got some cheese from him. I took the cheese home. Mm-hmm. The next day, I made a delicious meal and I ate some of the cheese with the meal. I then
still in real life,
still in real life, not in the dream world yet. I'll let you know when I'm in dream world. I'll do a kind of dream world sound.
Okay.
I then played a tabletop role-playing game with him over Zoom because I'm a nerd. If people don't know that, I'm not like other girls TM. I role-play, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just, you know, I had really bad acne as a kid, so I'm always going to be an outsider. And there's possibly some other undiagnosed things going on. Anyway, the game was spooky and creepy.
Oh, good. I was worried. I didn't know where I was.
Going into the dream world. Into the dream.
Got it.
The only memory I have of the dream is that my feet were blocks of cheese and my friend was cutting off bits of cheese from my feet.
From your feet?
Yeah, so he's like slicing off my feet basically, but my feet are made of cheese.
Did it hurt?
Yeah, I was screaming. But at the same time, it's hilarious because it's cheese. And I know they're not my real feet, but I don't want it to happen.
We're out of the dream. Out of dream. You wake up and then you look down and your feet have been chopped off.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
It is. And every day, every night, my distorted brain comes up with new sick fantasies that it goes, ha-ha, you want to see this? Not really. No. I'd rather not know.
Do you keep a diary? Do you journal them? No.
No, because I don't want to know. I want to forget. I want to forget.
I hate it when you wake up and you can't shake it off. Like, sometimes if someone's been horrible, like, I hold a grudge, or if something bad's happened. Or if something good's happened and then you wake up and you remember it's not real. Oh, yeah. Sad times. Can I read you these? I've remembered. So it's Rupi Kaur. You know the Instagram poet who also does illustrations?
I've heard of her, but I don't know.
She's good. They're just very... They're of a style. Anyway, this guy wrote down for weeks what his girlfriend said in her sleep and then turned them into these beautiful illustrations. I recommend just Googling, like, Rupi Kaur dream poems. But can I read you a couple?
Please.
The ship is breaking. It's filling with water. I scoop. He's named that piracy anxiety. Next we have... You have to cook. No, you have to cook the prawns. You cannot cook, you stupid cat. I'll read you one more. Oh my gosh. Oh no, I thought it was Freud, but it's a picture of Karl Marx. They look kind of the same.
That happens all the time.
How many millions are in a billion? 100? 1,000? Wow, that is too many. They're all just like that. They're beautiful and brilliant.
It's no cheese feet, though, is it? It's no cheese feet, mate.
You know, Matt went to a sleep clinic because of his sleep weirdness.
Has he got sleep paralysis?
No, so he gets up and what does he do? He pulls things out of the wardrobes. he once recited the entire play, The 56, which is the play that he wrote. From the beginning.
Oh my god.
We were once in Edinburgh and classic Edinburgh, like, sharing a room, that, you know, there was like cast in the room, and he sat up in the night and started giving notes to the cast members who were in the room. Joe, I can't hear you from the back, love. And the next day, he had no memory, no one told him, but Joe, god, did she project the next day. She was like, she did her diaphragm warm-ups and everything. What else does he do?
Oh my god.
He sometimes gets up and goes into the living room, and once our flatmate was there and didn't realise, and was like having a conversation with him, but obviously, like, his eyes are just wild because he's asleep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's really scary when you see people sleepwalking. Like,
I think I've become, like, as a sort of way of protecting my own sleep, like, it doesn't wake me up anymore. And we were once staying in an Ibis budget with our friend Sarah, and the next day she was like, god, wasn't that a bit mad? And, like, neither me or Matt had any memory, but apparently we'd spent all night, me and Sarah, like, trying to get him back into bed because he'd been, like, flying around the room, like, bouncing off the walls. And apparently we'd been like, it's okay, you're just dreaming. And we'd, like, coaxed him back into bed. But I clearly had also been asleep while doing that.
What the fuck?
Yeah, and she was like, god, that was a bit mad, wasn't it? And we were like,
you're like, what? Over your cornflakes. Like, what do you mean?
She's like traumatized. But he went to the sleep clinic and they sort of said, yeah, it's not really anything we can do about that. So
good luck. Damn, that's crazy. Good luck. Wow, that sucks. I'm really glad that doesn't happen to me. Anyway. How much was this? Oh, it was £200. Okay, bye. I've been trying to look into, like, herbal remedies to see if there's anything that can help. Because getting drunk doesn't help.
Oh, makes it worse.
Makes it worse. And actually, when I drink now, I can't sleep.
Interesting.
I used to drink... Well, I probably used to drink so much that it was easier to pass out. Whereas now, I'll have, like, one or two drinks. Because I'm a grown-up now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've changed my relationship with alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
But I just can't sleep. And then when I do sleep, I notice that, like, the dreams, they're not clear messages. Like, when I'm sober, totally sober as a judge, which is most of my life now, I'll go to sleep, the dream will very clearly have a message for
me. Really?
Yeah, always. I think it's always, and it's metaphor and all the rest of it, and it's always like, you feel X way about yourself. Always, always. You're insecure about this, or you're feeling this.
Oh my gosh, like, I probably need to evaluate my dreams a bit more. I'm just like, that was a bit weird when that mouse spoke to that rabbit and I was in a field of poppies. Whereas it's probably like, I'm nervous about the play that I'm doing tomorrow, isn't it? That's probably what that means.
Always. And I hate it, but I always get the, you don't know your lines.
I get it where I'm in a play. It's normally a play that I've already done and everyone's rehearsed and forgotten to tell me that rehearsals are happening, and then it's opening night and everyone knows where they're going and I don't know what the show's about, what the script is, what I'm saying. Yeah.
Two months ago, I did Mamma Mia with Jed Wood and I've still not recovered.
Now, I want to see that. Lines or no lines.
But when I say that, it sounds like, oh, that's quite funny. Ha ha ha. But it's never like that. It's always like the scariest tone. It's like my dreams have been directed by Jordan Peele. Like, I say that and it's like, ha ha, it sounds like a Children in Need sketch, but it's like, imagine if it was directed by Jordan Peele though. And then you're like, oh, okay.
It's like a horror show.
Yeah, it's like, have you seen that sketch, Key and Peele sketch where it's the party don't stop?
No.
I'd say that's the closest representation of what my dreams are like. It's basically these two DJs and they're I think it's like a parody of, do you remember LMFAO?
As in the...
Is that them? Which one's them?
Oh, I thought you just meant, do you remember when we used to text each other, LMFAO?
You know that I'm sexy and I know it, those guys. I think it's a parody of them. And it's basically, they're like, the party don't stop because it keeps on going. And at first you're like, haha, this is funny, they're at a party. And then it becomes clear that, like, the party is hell. And they can never escape. There's basically no exit. And they keep, like, trying to escape.
Brain.
Yeah, and it, like, keeps escalating. And they, like, try and kill themselves. It doesn't work. They come back to life and they're still at the party.
You must be so tired.
Sometimes I'm more tired when I wake up than I was when I went to sleep.
I would just never sleep if I was you. I think you should just give that a go. Stop. Going to bed. Have you tried chamomile tea?
I mean, does that work?
Yeah. Don't have it in the middle of the day. That's what I'll tell you.
But does it decrease the intensity of your dreams? If anyone knows something to decrease the intensity of dreams, because let me tell you, I have Googled and I have come up with fuck all.
Have you got a dream catcher?
No.
I'll get your dream catcher. They work.
Do they?
Yeah. You pop it on your wall.
I'm a bit afraid of using things that I don't understand, is the thing.
Yeah, no, that's a nice one, though. It just captures your dreams to make sure that you're having a restful
night. What if I hang it in the wrong way and it attracts spirits to me and they kill me?
I just think it can't get any worse than your current situation.
I'm just used to it.
I don't mean to panic you.
It's like Matt running around the Ibis. I'm just used to it.
Yeah, but that is not okay. That should not be the standard.
That's why when people are like, why do you watch horror films? I'm like, I watch one every single night when I'm asleep.
In my own head.
I'm a massive fan of them. I write and direct them every single night. If you wrote and directed them every single night, you wouldn't want to fucking watch Saw on your time off. On your time off from your full-time job.
I want Freud to come back from the dead and explain your brain.
He could help me. I'm a very Freudian person. I don't feel like loads of people are, but yeah. Jung could definitely help me as well.
You're a fan of the Freud then, despite his colonialism?
Well, the thing is like, he's the archetypical, you can't keep getting away with this guy. Because, like, you read his ideas and you're like, ooh, that's minging. And then you look around the world and you're like, oh my God. Like, there's this thing on TikTok where people were making fun of what in America what they call boy moms, which is basically mothers who are unhealthily obsessed
with
their sons in a borderline romantic kind of way. And the one of the things that these moms post is like, people always say about parenthood, if God sends a woman a daughter, she needed to learn some maturity. If God sent a woman a son, she needed to know the true meaning of love. It literally makes me...
I can so imagine being that person, though. Oh, I really can. Oh, I really can. Imagine you've got a little baby and you're just like, I made that. I just want to take him everywhere. Show him to all
my
pals.
I know, but like, Helen, you'd love your daughter as well,
wouldn't
you?
Oh, yeah.
What the fuck does that mean?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yeah, it's a bit weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Anyway, basically, all the comments on all of those ones are paging Dr. Freud, and he can't keep getting away with this.
They've got a point. I've just seen on his Wikipedia page there's a whole section called cocaine. Can I attempt to read it? Also, I worry that people who...
But that's the last time we're doing the Wikipedia, because it hasn't gone well.
I know, and I'm really, like, honestly, I promise I'm an intelligent person. I've got a master's degree.
You're very intelligent.
I'm worried that people who respect me might have listened to this episode and all I've done is read things out and go, I don't understand. As a medical researcher, Freud was an early user and proponent of cocaine as a stimulant, as well as... analgestic. I'm clicking on that.
Analgesic. I think it means pain reliever.
Oh yeah, it does. I thought it was something to do with his bum.
Let me find cocaine.
He believed that cocaine was a cure for many mental and physical problems, and in his 1884 paper on coca, he extolled his virtues. Who has written this? Between 1883 and 1887, he wrote several articles recommending medical applications, including its use as an antidepressant. Well, he was wrong about that, wasn't he?
I wouldn't know.
He narrowly missed out on obtaining scientific priority for discovering its anesthetic properties, of which he was aware but had mentioned only in passing, blah 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 blah.
I mean,
blah.
It makes so much sense, doesn't it, that he was just running around fucking coked off his tits.
Yeah, and he actually changed his mind. Look, the application as an anesthetic turned out to be one of the few safe uses of cocaine, and as reports of addiction and overdoses began to filter in from many places in the world, Freud's medical reputation became somewhat tarnished. After the quote-unquote cocaine episode, Freud ceased to publicly recommend the use of the drug, but continued to take it himself occasionally for depression, migraines, nasal inflammation. I mean, his nasal inflammation is probably caused by the cocaine, cured by the cocaine.
Oh, I just get really bad hangovers when I don't drink. So
I really just need, massive glass of vodka and a line of coke. Mm. What a life, what a rock star.
What a life.
Don't do drugs, kids.
His life must have been fucking mad.
He was such a bloke, though, wasn't he? Like a proper man.
Yeah.
And I think, not to victim blame, but his death. So he got cancer, but he did that very sort of repressed male thing, which I think is ironic, considering his whole thing about... But from my very skirty reading of this Wikipedia page... He just ignored it and denied it and didn't do anything about it. And then that was bad. And then, this is interesting, he essentially did euthanasia onto himself with the help of some...
Did he?
With the help of some pals, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And there's a whole thing on here about him escaping the Nazis, but I feel like I can't really get into that because I've not researched it and I don't want to get it wrong or do him an injustice.
Listen, we're not known for cracking the case wide open, are we? People put us on when they're trying to get to sleep.
Or doing the washing up. Scrub that
and dish. They want to feel like, well, look, these two haven't got it figured out either. And you know what? Actually, in comparison to Tilly, I'm doing quite well.
Oh, it's very kind of you not to include me in that. Have you heard my reading today?
I know, but you're kind of likeable in a way I'm not. What was I saying? What were we talking about?
About cocaine and then his death and then him euthanizing himself. And then I mentioned the Nazis. I know that he underestimated the Nazis.
Go back to cocaine.
He ended up having to flee. Cocaine, he took it himself for his nose inflammation. You said, oh, I do that when I have a hangover. Oh, I don't have a hangover because I've not drunk half a glass of
vodka. Okay, now we're just recapping the podcast that we just recorded. That's not great. I've forgotten what I was going to say. Probably wasn't that good.
We were saying, we're going to wrap up soon because we've not really done any research. We're both useless.
No, I've covered our incompetence. Covered that. It was going to be a really great point about something.
His seduction theory?
No, we're not fucking going into that. Oh my god. That's just like, oh, that's not good.
He used
none of that's good.
A form of treatment based on something called the pressure technique. I want to know what the pressure technique is.
I think it's all like horrendously triggering, like a lot of like child sexual abuse stuff.
Oh,
so.
Well then let's not get into that.
Let's not, because do you know what? 2022, it's all about having a hugely successful podcast, you know? And listen, how many years we've been doing this now? This has got to be our year, right?
Surely. You've been listening to Bitchin' with Tilly Steele and Helen Monks. Our music is by Dave Cribb and our artwork is by Luke W. Robson. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you're enjoying it, and do follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We love to hear from you. Bye.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.